on to player number two. I was born in Ohio and went to school in the state.
Who are you?
Clue number two. If you count off-season roster spots, the Niners are my seventh team. If you count off-season roster spots, the Niners are my seventh team.
Who are you?
Clue number three.
Grand, you're nailing
it. I really
it today.
Like the Kevin Durant part. It's really great. All right, number three.
Almost making up for his Jordan Mason guess.
Almost. Especially then when I like went back and he's like, Jordan Mason. Anyway.
Who are you?
Like, still not on the Niners. Anyway, number three. I was never drafted.
Lucas. Austin Pleasants.
Point, Lucas. Austin Pleasants.
Very good.
Wow, he got up out of his chair. He got up out of his chair.
He's looking at a roster on his computer.
I mean, y'all do. You're in a different room. What do you want me to do?
Is that illegal? There were no ground rules. Also, Dibs is too. He quoted the exact weight of our last.
I don't
clue.
Think you need.
I thought you weren't supposed to be looking at a roster.
I mean, you guys can look. I have no rules on how you guys want to get to A to B here. These are hard.
Wow, that's messed up. Yeah,
well, I mean, you're
anything to beat Grandy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
All right, Lucas. Point two. I'll give you the other two clues for Austin Pleasants so we can get to know him. Despite being in or around the league since 2020, I've only appeared in 5 games.
Dibs. sorry.
And my last name sounds very joyful. That was the
nice.
Other. That was the other clue. Austin Pleasants.
Jake Moody. I mean, you don't have to always be in a bad moody.
Nope. Joyful is a mood.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. He's appeared in more than 5 games. All right. Player number three. Lucas has two. You will need to defeat him the rest of the way or he will become round two champion.
Huge.
All right. Player number three. I was born in a very big city.
Who are you?
Clue number two. I'm a rookie. Grandy?
Oh, sorry.
Who are you?
Clue number three. I am an ambassador for Adidas. Grandy?
Oh.
Who are you?
Now I'm looking at a roster. There's so much more going on back here.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. We're going to need you to multitask. Clue number four. On my Instagram profile, it says, quote, I hate QBs.
Lucas. Let's go Michael Williams.
Guillotine.
Ooh.
Clue number five. Based on my last name, the Niners are an appropriate spot for me.
Grandy.
Let's go to Grandy.
CJ West.
Point. Mark Atta Grandy. Boy. CJ West.
Good well clue. Done, Grandy. Good
All
job.
Right. All right.
Where was he born?
Chicago.
Okay.
Chicago, yeah. The Windy City. All right. Player number four, Grandy's got a point. Lucas has two. Dibs, we're pulling for you.
Didn't even need a roster for that one. Let's go.
Just keep hitting Kevin, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Player number four.
Player number four and clue number one. Just like my teammate above, I was also born in a very big city.
Who are you?
Clue number two. When 50 Cent said, go shorty, he could have been talking about me.
Who are you?
Number three. I am repped by Roc Nation Sports.
Who are you?
Clue number four. In college, I went to both Texas and Kentucky, sorta.
What?
Who are you?
Lucas.
Hey,
come on, don't give a guess. Upton Stout.
Point, Lucas, champion, round two.
Wow.
We will be playing round five just for fun.
Come on.
The fifth clue was, I hope my last name is a sign of the kind of defender I am. Stout. The Texas and Kentucky thing is that he went to Western Kentucky and North Texas. So,
gotcha.
Texas and Kentucky, sort of. Upton.
Pretty misleading,
Stout.
But yeah.
Well, they're close. Anyway.
Hard to win without a guess.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Hard to lose your head without getting guillotined.
There we go. There we go. All right. This is Dibs. Let's see if you can get on the board. Grandy, let's see if you can take a strong second. Lucas, let's see if you can just dominate.
Okay.
All right. Player number five, clue number one. I was born in a city the Counting Crows once crowed about.
Who are you?
The blank stares.
Clue number two. Yeah, that one was for you, Dibs. You have an advantage on that one.
Well, Counting Crows.
Clue number two.
Grandy, too, old soul.
That's true.
Sing a couple Counting Crows songs.
Clue number two. When the Niners drafted me, they had already made a pick in that round.
Who are you?
Clue number three. I ran a 4.37 40-yard dash.
Dibs.
Dibs.
Jordan Watkins?
Guillotine.
Are we allowed to laugh?
Should be double guillotine because it's a player we already did.
Doesn't matter.
That's the joke.
I'm not going to do the player twice.
Okay, Jordan Mason.
That's a good one, Dibs. Yeah.
Very good.
That's really funny. Older,
but no, guillotine, Dibs.
Oh, okay, Grandy. Yeah. It's getting better.
Clue number four. All right, clue number four. I played some games for the same school that was home to a recent high-profile 49ers pick. Grandy?
Who are you?
Let's hear that one more time, please.
I played some games for the same school that was home to a recent high-profile 49er pick.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Who are you?
Clue number five. My general manager calls me the second coming of the Sultan of Swarm.
Grandy.
Let's go to Grandy.
Nick Martin?
Guillotine. Lucas?
Yes.
You now have an opportunity take a straight 4 out of 5 and absolutely dominate.
I think I get one more clip.
You do get another clue. I'm going to try to make it not like entirely obvious, though. Okay. My last name is sometimes seen flying overhead at Oracle Park.
Oh. Oh. Marquis Siegel.
Point. Lucas. Marquis Siegel.
You'll get him next time. Marquis Grandy and Dibs. That's all good.
Siegel. Played some games at North Dakota State prior to going to Kansas State. High profile recent pick. Trey Lance, obviously. Marquis Siegel, John Lynch the other day referred to him as the Sultan of Swarm, which is a nickname he originally gave to Malik Mustafa, and said he is kind of now our second version of the Sultan of Swarm. That's Who Are You? Round two. Congratulations, Lucas.
Job, Lucas.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Really poor performance by me. I'm embarrassed.
Yep, yeah. Really poor.
Yeah, you only got 1 point and embarrassed yourself once, too.
Multiple times, actually.
Yeah. But anyway.
Good job with that drop, though.
Thanks.
The drop was a nice addition, I thought.
I just try to bring something every day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And today it was not my guesses.
That was like the quotes that like Bull Durham used to coach into Tim Robbins' character, Ebby Calhoun Lelouch. I just try to, keep my head down and, good Lord willing, things will work out for me every day. Just glad to be here.
1% better every day.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, hope you know Jordan Watkins, Austin Pleasance, CJ West, Upton Stout, and Marquis Siegel a little bit better this afternoon than you knew them when you woke up today. That's the goal.
That's the goal right there.
That's the goal.
Fantastic. You know, great work over there. Those are fun. And I'm just a little stuck on the nickname thing where...
Why?
One guy is the Sultan of Swarm, and then the next year you give that title to somebody else.
Well, that's why I called him the second coming.
I didn't know. I get it. I'm just more stuck on the fact that they couldn't come up with another nickname for a different guy.
It sounds like they're moving toward it almost being like a camp award like this year's Sultan of Swarm.
Sure.
That's kind of what his, I think, where it was coming from, but
you're
yeah.
You're probably right.
It's Wait, can you explain a clue for me?
Yeah, which one?
And for Lucas, we're both curious.
Yeah.
The Counting Crows one?
Sure. Okay, so he was born in Omaha.
They sang about
which
Omaha?
Is a song, oh. is a Counting Crows song, Omaha, somewhere in Middle America. Yeah. Dibs knows that.
Was that Siegel or was that somebody
you
else?
You don't know the song Omaha?
Counting Crows is one of those bands that would be a pretty quick changing of the station.
Okay, no, that's fine.
So, yeah,
it was a pretty famous song a number of years
ago. Can you sing a little bit of it?
I mean, I'm not
that
a good singer. Granny can pull it up.
All right.
Yeah, Omaha, somewhere in Middle America. Like, I mean, that's it's not, okay. yeah, it's...
It might ring a bell if I hear it.
You recognize it if you heard it.
Sounds like
yeah.
a great song.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Yeah. Really, really popular. And, you know, shout out UC Berkeley. Yeah. There you go. Sounds like people have bagpipes at a funeral at the moment, but it's going somewhere. Here we go. You don't know this song?
Nope.
Never heard it?
Never heard it.
Okay.
I'm with Dibs on this one.
Well, yeah, of course you... What year did the song come out, Grandy?
Long time ago. It was posted on YouTube 6 years ago, but well, way no. longer than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me a sec. Give me a sec. Yeah.
Let's not forget that Dibs said the second he hears Counting Crows on the radio, it's a change the channel, and the next move we make is to play Counting Crows
right.
on the radio.
What year?
1993.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. I associate Counting Crows... with the drop sound that we play because Roxy Bernstein,
yes,
he was co-hosting with me, and one of his go-tos is to make reference to Adam Duritz,
yeah.
the lead singer of Counting Crows.
So you know Adam Duritz.
Please explain.
Thank you. I know Adam Duritz, and I know that he and Roxy Bernstein are
friends.
Longtime friends.
Because Adam is a big cow guy.
And so that's why the boop started, yeah. because Roxy will just reference, you know, and he would reference these people by first name. Like he'd talk about Bill Walton,
oh.
doing games with Bill. You know, when I was working with Bill last week at Poly Pavilion. And so that's where the drop originated.
Please explain.
So when I hear Counting Crows, I think about Roxy Bernstein and I think about Boop because that's one of his go-tos.
Okay.
But yeah.
Did we get to the bottom of that there? The other thing is, by the way, like it's not like all of you know where these people were born anyway. Like I use those off the top because it's kind of fun to... Like Upton Stout, I said, was born in a really big city. He's born in Houston. C.J. West was born in Chicago.
Yeah.
I like to know where guys are from. I think especially rookie players, I always like, I think about that when, you know, because maybe these guys will come on the air with us at some point. Like where you're from is such a baseline for maybe even the journey that you're now going through. Like if somebody was born in Mississippi and now they live in Santa Clara, like, oh my God, you changed planets, basically. You know, you're 22 years old and you're on a new planet. How's it going? I like to talk to guys about that because the world could not be more different.
Yeah.
So if you're from Chicago, you're from Houston, you're from Omaha. So anyway, that's one of the things I like to look at.
I like it too, and I think about the Big Finish, which is a bit you brought to the station, and I've kind of co-opted it to use it when we have interviews, and I'm thinking about all the Giants we had this year, and they're all from North Carolina. And Landon Roop was from a place called Rocky Mount, North Carolina. So as we're going to have a player like that on, I am kind of like you, where is he from? And I kind of look at what kind of a town is it, how many stoplights, and like what would life be as young Landon Roop from Rocky Mount, you know, when you got a population of, who Wouldn't knows, 800?
Yeah, it was like 1,000 people, 900.
One of them was, yeah.
Well, was that Landon? I think it was.
Actually, that's 54,000 in Rocky Mount.
Oh, okay.
In the past, we've had a couple where, we had one last year. I don't know if it was Tristan Beck or if it was...
Wizenhunt. I think Wizenhunt's from the middle of nowhere,
right.
North Carolina.
We had one of those guys last year where it was like... 800 or 900 people.
Yeah.
But I kind of like seeing that similarly. So I'm glad you brought that.
It shapes you, man. And it's like baseball, when you end up in the minor leagues, like, you know, when I got a chance to broadcast for a couple years in Idaho, it's amazing to be on a team bus and you've got guys from the middle of nowhere, Florida, and then the guy next to him's from L.A. And then to watch that all blend and have these people kind of become teammates and figure out life on the road on a bus in a small hotel, you know, you're not staying at the Ritz when you're in single A and all that stuff. It's very unique to sports. There's not a lot of industries like that where everybody comes from a different spot, and then, you know, you just get drafted. It's like, you just get plucked. It's like, okay, you're going to go live over here now. It's kind of why I always have a little bit of, I don't want to say sympathy. These guys have a wonderful, wonderful life, especially those who make it to the big time. But it's always a crazy thought to me when somebody either gets drafted or traded, and just whatever. Like, you wake up one day, and then by dinner time, someone's like, oh, yeah, you live in Indiana now. You're like, what? Yeah, sorry. You live in Indiana now. You know what I mean? And I know Andrew Wiggins has made hundreds of millions of dollars, but flash back to Utah trade deadline last year, and you live in the Bay Area. You've played for years with the Warriors. You've won a championship. You're sitting in Salt Lake, and you're like, hi, Andrew, come on over here. You live in Florida now. Bye. And I know that's not the way they say it, but, like, sure. It's just, I don't know, man.
Or you're Dennis Schroeder and you get traded, and wow, before you can even pack up, you've been traded again, and then that you get traded again.
Traded again.
And it just goes on and on. And I think about the where you're from thing with baseball more than ever, because you've got Jung-Hoo Lee from Korea, yep, a number from Dominican Republic, you've got some Puerto Rico, you've got some North Carolina, you got guys from all over the place, and then the age gap when you go from Verlander to Matos, it's a 20-year gap. Yep. So football is much more, I think, of a sameness. You don't have a ton of players born overseas, and the age gap is a little bit smaller just based on, yep, football. Yep. So basketball is the other one where there's only 15 of you.
I also,
you know,
think basketball players, and that this is going to be, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but there's a smaller gap in basketball and football, probably hockey too, than there is in baseball in terms of the range of personalities and styles. You know what I mean? Football players, man, a lot of dogs, a lot of really, yep, energetic, like, wow, physical, sort of alpha type. Not everybody, but a lot of them. Basketball, you guys are just athletic freaks, so you're usually pretty dang tall, lanky, maybe the greatest athletes out there, and your team is small. Baseball can have that five-tool kind of athletic superstar and then a weirdo pitcher who just looks all gangly and awkward, and you're both professional baseball players. Now sit on the bus together. One of you is from Florida, one of you is from Washington. And you just get the widest range, yeah, of weird in baseball when you bring a team together.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also in baseball, there are kind of cliques where you've got the bullpen guys, the pitchers, you've got the Latin players, you've got the position guys and whatnot. And football is a little like that. Basketball, just thinking about this Warrior team, and you've got a nice variety of countries represented, whether it's, you know, Buddy Hield and, hi, this is Quentin Post and Gui Santos and Jonathan Kuminga. All roads lead to Kuminga. You got a pretty international flavor on that Warrior team.
By the way, since you mentioned Warriors, I do want to get back to Juwan before we're done today. But should we? Can we talk this out for a second?
Yeah.
So first of all, Pods came on our show Wednesday. Steiny brought this up. And, you know, we hadn't talked about it because we're just knee-deep in 49ers right now. But I was kind of glad that he brought this up because we finally asked Pods about just how the locker room is handling the Kuminga situation, and his answer did, like, it was mostly fine, but there was a little piece of it where I was like, oh, come on, Pods, like, really? So you listen and tell me what you think. Here's Pods on how the locker room's handling all the Kuminga stuff.
Obviously, everybody on our team knows it's the media's job to try to nitpick and find things to write and talk about and, you know, separate, you know, teammates so they have a story to write. Like, we all know that's how it works, especially the guys that have been around it for, you know, 10 to 15 years. They know how it works. But I think everybody in the locker room knows no matter how that situation is resolved, it doesn't change, you know, our viewpoint of JK as a person, as a player. Obviously, we all want him to be in Golden State. That's the whole point. But it doesn't change anything. Obviously, like you said, the media is going to portray it one way to try to make people think differently of it, but it doesn't change my perspective. I know all I can control is being the best version of Brandon Podziemski that I can be going into my third year, and everything else is going to fall how it may. But that's just my focus, is how can I be the best version to, you know, help Steph, Jimmy, Dre, guys that you know aren't going to be able to play all 82 games this year? How do we find ways to win those games so that way we're not fighting an uphill battle like we were last year after we got Jimmy?
How'd that answer grab you?
I think that he's right in ways about, you know, you're going to need guys to step up and play minutes because they're not going to be able to play all the minutes. And,
sure,
you know, just the whole thing about, you know, wanting the best for JK and also wanting the best for your team. You don't want to count pockets and give another player advice on how he should navigate it.
Sure, but the part about it's the media's job to nitpick and create a story. Okay, I'm not going to freak out about that.
Yeah.
The media's job to separate players, and then he goes on also, media's job to create a story. There are two things there that I would kind of challenge. First of all, the way he phrased it, it's the media's job to separate players. I not only is that not the media's job, I don't know who in the hell, who's doing that. You might have media members who...
There are some.
To separate players?
There are some that try.
I get if you think the media's out there and maybe playing the game a little bit dirty, being a little bit unfair about certain stories, but separating players, like creating a division amongst players on the same team, I don't see that very often. I see people taking words out of context. I see people coming down the road of one athlete, and you know what I mean? Like making that athlete a repetitive story, maybe to their own gain. I don't know, but I don't see people separating teammates, number one. And number two, this is what no one said earlier that gets me about this. Ain't nobody with a microphone create this story. This is a story.
Right. It's not a media creation.
This is not a creation. So anybody out there, because I know people love it when celebrities rip the media. It's super fun and trendy to just be like, yep, media sucks, media's fault, even though we're all here consuming it. And I don't take offense to it, like just because we're one tiny, tiny little speck wing of it. Like, I don't take offense to that. But nobody created this. This is a real thing. And as evidenced by what's happening, Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors are at odds. That's not a creation. That's not a faction. That's not factual. That's what I would say to Pods in response is, this is a thing. You would not suggest that this is not a thing. I don't think there's anything between the players and Kuminga. Not at this point. We'll see how the rest of it goes. But the idea that there's something between Jonathan and the coaching staff or the team, of course there is.
Well, we don't really know, and we're not in that locker room. And so
he said it himself, like through his agent on Twitter and whatnot.
A year and a half ago, yeah. Sure. But I think that something that could be more construed as a media creation is the idea that Draymond and Kevin Durant didn't get along. They didn't like playing with each other. We honestly don't know from the outside. We all saw the clip where KD was mouthing, that's why I'm out of here, or that's why I'm out here, whatever that was. And we all took that to mean a certain thing that was either true or not true. But that was more of a media creation than this. You've got a player who is going to play on the qualifying offer, or a team that wants to sign and trade, and a player who wants more. So whatever's going on between the two, it's a thing that the media didn't create. We didn't not sign him last offseason. We didn't not take a deal that was offered 2 years and $45 million. These are things that we're just reporting on. So I think Pods is, I know what he's doing, and he's, you know, defending his guy, yeah, and defending other pro athletes.
Yeah,
and
of course.
He's not wrong in some ways, but I don't think that the media in general, at least in this market, we're not out to create stories and, wow, you know, create divides, I don't think, as the flagship especially.
I don't think anybody even needs to be defended here. Like, I don't see anything that's out of pocket or out of line. Like, I agree with you. He can feel however he wants, and if he wants to express it in a way that's having his teammates back, at least until he's not his teammate or whatever, sure, do it that way. But I just found it, and again, I don't even find it offensive or any of that. I find it to be sort of an odd place to come from to say that anything that's going on here is created by anything other than reality. Like, nothing has been created here. There's clearly a subject matter that has, it's very polarizing. If somebody wants to know my opinion now, why the Kuminga thing just doesn't go away, it's because it's very polarizing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I can bring you inside our world some. For those of you who don't want to...
I thought I was in your world.
Well, no, not you, okay. But the listeners out there. Like, if you don't buy this and you think that certain shows or writers or whatever, that they're like, you know, cherry picking and bringing this story up repeatedly because they don't want it to die, I would argue that very much goes both ways. We joke on this show, all roads lead to Kuminga,
yeah.
Not because that's where we want it to go. Often it's because that's where it gets taken. Like there is so much engagement from you all. There are so many opinions from you all. There's so much reaction from you all when this name comes up, and us too. We have so many different opinions about it inside this own building.
Yep.
And so it's very, very difficult, in fact. I can share with you, I'll be completely honest with all of you. There are many days where any of the hosts at this station will say to producers before a show starts, I'm exhausted on the Kuminga thing. And then you're an hour into your show, and people's faces are red, and you're firing on Kuminga.
Because we took two left turns, and next thing you know, you're bound for Kumingaville.
Somebody texted it or called it or whatever, and there's a lot of emotion there. And it's not wrong to go there, because that's what drives human beings.
And I also think that the parallel situation of Juwan Jennings makes it so you can draw it to Kuminga in its different situations, in different leagues, and contractually different situations. But you've got a player, Jennings, Kuminga, unhappy with the contract, Kuminga, Jennings, and playing time could be in jeopardy, Jennings, Kuminga. There are certain parallels, I think, with this latest situation, which is Juwan Jennings, and it's also becoming more polarizing than I think it used to be as it goes on. And, you know, Tim Kawakami yesterday said league sources have told him that the ask might be $20 million a year or more.
Play it for you in a sec.
Please
go ahead.
Do. Yep. As you look around the internet today, many of the sites that will aggregate, which means you pick up reports that are on radio or in articles, all you have to do is Google Juwan Jennings and $20 million, and you'll find 10 different websites that picked up this sound clip from us yesterday, Willie and Dibby.
Yep, here it is from Tim Kawakami, SF Standard.
What you hear not from the camp but from NFL circles is that it's high. You know, it's above 20 is what I've heard, and maybe a lot above 20 a year. To put him in the top 20 or so of receivers in that realm. 49ers have done it before with Brandon Ayuk. So, like, there is precedent for lifting a guy way up on the higher ranks of the receiver salaries. What I've heard from the 49ers side in the air on that one is that they don't want to do anything. Like, they are negotiating. I think there have been numbers exchanged, but they just redid his deal last year. And that's before he got 977 yards receiving. That's before he was the first receiver, basically, last year when Ayuk got hurt. That's before a lot of other things happened. But, you know, their chance is we keep doing you every year. We're going to come back and do it again. And then we're going to tell Colton McKivitz. We're going to tell Trent Williams. We're going to tell, Brock Purdy to whatever. So you understand that precedent that they don't want to break.
Yeah. And look, everybody, this is anybody who's a sports fan. You get to choose who you want to listen to. But I would argue that anyone who's kind of in the reporting world or the teams themselves, like, there's sort of a way that this information all kind of gets out to the public. I think we're lucky, actually, in this market. I don't know how all the teams work, but a lot of the people who are public-facing speakers for the teams here in town are largely honest. And I say honest like, because there are things they can't or shouldn't say. And then they need to present things to you in a certain way that, like, works for what they're trying to get done, but you kind of keep it like, yes, there's a gray area there. But I think they're trying to be honest in the moment. We're not trading Juwan Jennings. Well, we'll see. And then you can be like, well, that day we meant it, and then something changed. So it can go that way, but it does, I think, come down sometimes to who you want to listen to And I think you all get the idea of who's really tapped in and who's not.
Yep.
You know, these aggregators are just grabbing stuff somewhere. Tim is pretty locked in. Tim's not going to say those words on the air if they haven't met, if they don't mean something. I'll give you this.
And like, also, like, the relationship. Is he going to sacrifice his relationship with the team in order to get one single thing out there? It's not going to be the way he's going to go about it. He's not going to burn 35 years in the market and all these relationships that he's built up over one comment to Willard and Dibs.
One of our faithful listeners on YouTube who goes by the name No 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 actually just wrote in.
No, no, no.
Like, you say things like you know Kuminga doesn't want to be here and he's toxic. All right, here's how I'd like to answer that. First of all, I do know that he doesn't want to be here. Dot, dot, dot. Based on the current scenario, based on the money and the fact that he doesn't get the playing time and the starting role that he wants here. I do know that. I do know that. Have I talked directly to him? No, I've talked directly to people who have talked to him. That is where that sits. And then but I get bothered by the he's toxic. I've never said Jonathan Kuminga's toxic. I have absolutely said that in my opinion, in this moment, the situation is toxic. My concern for Golden State Warrior basketball is Jonathan taking the qualifying offer and forcing his way basically back onto the Warriors so that he can get out. And then the Warriors are complicit in this too, because they're trying to force them the control in their favor. And what does that lead to? It leads to what I find to be a very tense situation in the locker room right out of the gate. I would call that toxic. If you wouldn't, great. Don't call it toxic. But yes, that's absolutely the way I see it. And that has nothing to do with trying to divide anybody. And I'm certainly not making something up out of thin air. Hello?
And it's your opinion.
Yeah.
You're not in the locker room. And,
no.
You know, we've talked to Steve Kerr many times about it. And the answer he gave last time was, you know, to have a camp and Kuminga's here, you know, darn it, we're going to do all we can to make it work. And I do believe that. And if Kuminga comes back as a Warrior, I also think that he'll be of the same mindset, which is whatever my deal is, whatever my situation is, I'm going to try and be the best Warrior I can be, knowing that I may want to be elsewhere. I may want to cook somewhere. But if that's not an option, his best course of action is be a Warrior, be a good Warrior, and then go get what you want. And the same thing for me, Mark, is in place with Juwan Jennings. If you get to Monday and there's no extension, there's no fresh money, and you're staring down the barrel of a choice, I do think that Juwan's going to, you know, tape up that calf and start playing football.
Because
the alternative, and you've said this about Kuminga a lot, the alternative is not good for your free agent future.
No, 100%. But, both of these guys, you kind of end up, for me, in the same bucket, and I think it's something that for all of us out there, this is relatable. Usually it's not. It's funny to me sometimes how often we try, and I get why. We try to relate to their situation. We can't. We can't. We can't relate to these dollars. You can't relate to being mad that someone's offering you 20.
You could be mad. You can relate relative to our
relative,
own world, right?
Yeah, but how many people have said to you, Brandon Ayuk got offered $23 million and he wouldn't take it? Oh my God, like, you play a kid's sport. It's like that, but that's not how Brandon's looking at it. Brandon's like, but that dude over there had 400 yards less than me last year and he's making 10 million more or whatever. So it's very, very hard to relate. But I do think that both of these situations whittle themselves down to something that's very relatable. It's this. In your company, do you want people there who don't want to be there? Now, I'm not speaking for Juwan and Kuminga, although both of them, and this is absolute fact, both of them have pushed buttons to push for a trade.
Sure.
Both of them.
Sure. It doesn't mean that they don't want to be there. It may mean that they want something that isn't being offered
there. They don't want to be there at this time based on the scenario that is being offered
to them. The salary or playing time, whatever it is.
Both of them.
Yep, agreed.
Right? Exactly. So at the workplace, how do you handle that? How do you handle when someone doesn't want to be there? And is it the right thing to do for any company to sort of be like, sorry, bub, like, you have a piece of paper with your signature on it, therefore we control that, and you're here or you're nowhere. You can do that,
mm-hmm.
or do you actively try to work with that person to figure out a different scenario, because you know that keeping disgruntled people within your company is dangerous.
It's very dangerous, and it just, for me, comes down to how important that person is to the success of your organization. And before you came here, in the early days of look, Matt Nahegan takes over about 7 years ago now, and we had some coworkers, and I could think off the top of my head, eight of them who are no longer here, and it took him some time to figure out who was not happy working for this team. Yep. And so you start going through, and it's, okay, we're not going to have this person anymore and this person, and you start to pick and weed your way through the people who aren't willing to be a part of the team. And in the pro sports realm, it's not that easy, because Kuminga, $7.9 million qualifying offer, he can just sign it and be disgruntled if he wants, and the Warriors would have to deal with it however they want to. And the Niners with Juwan, same thing. If they don't give him a new contract and he decides, well, you know what, I'm going to have to go in there and just play football, then they're going to have decisions to make on their own.
Sometimes I do think, like, how, and these guys have done it before, so they're great at it, but how do you have this? How do you have this argument? And by the way, at some point this month, also an injury. And at no point have you gone out there and practiced and had a camp. And then how are you, like, 9 days from now, you're just going to be like, okay, I'm here. Like, I'll run the X.
Yep.
Like, where do you tuck all that emotion? Where do you tuck? And I know that's why people have agents, and that's why the head coach is not, you know, that's why there's Parag and an agent. It's like two other people.
Yep.
You guys all battle this out. You butt heads, and then I'll get on the field, and I love my teammates, and I want to play for my coach, and we can go out there and do it. But at the same time, good Lord, you know, it has been reported to us by multiple people. Both sides are very fed up.
Of course. For the Niners, it's like, we're not running a deli counter here where you pull the number 12. Who's number 12 on the contract restructure? Oh, that's me. I'll take $17 million guaranteed on a French roll with mayonnaise and mustard. We're not running a deli counter anymore. Brandon Ayuk walked out with one of those 7-foot-long party hoagies, and the team's like, we didn't want to give him that. And now Juwan's like, ooh, I saw the sandwich Ayuk got. Let me have half of that. They're like, we're not doing the deli counter anymore. So I see why they're frustrated, and you always say it, like, this is football.
Yep.
This is what players do, but
you gotta have the stomach for it.
At some point, the team is fair and right to just say, no, we're flipping the sign to close.
By the way, this was funny. After the pods thing and Steiny and Goo played it, one of our faithful callers, Tim in North Carolina, called in.
I heard this.
All right, was this fair?
Steiny, you telling both you and Paz are telling the truth, man. You and Guru, y'all do y'all best to play it down the middle, man, quite honestly. But you taking it personal. The people Paz talking to was the show he was on. Those guys literally should be the representation for Steve Kerr.
Those are our guys.
On the payroll. They are more on the payroll of the Warriors than people that actually are on the Warriors. I have specifically heard Willard on a show talk about how guys in the locker room were going to be standing there waiting when Kuminga walked in with their hands on their hips, pissed off. So you are absolutely right, Steiny. You and Goo don't really go that way, and I know those are your boys. But, dude, those cats is literally on the payroll. You could put them right next to Monty Poole, as damn near sounding like they get a check. I mean, they should represent Steve Kerr at this point. So, I mean, I'm just letting y'all know, man. But y'all both telling the truth. Paz just needed to say, you guys. He should have just said, Willard, you and Dibs do this. So, that's all right, fellas. I appreciate y'all.
Right on, Tibbs.
Monty
Poole catches a stray. You think Pods would agree to come on this show every single week if that's how he felt about what we do?
I don't think so. As much as he loves the Valkyries,
that's one.
I don't think that he would take 10 to 15 minutes of his free time to come on with a couple of guys who apparently I'm doing Steve Kerr's laundry, and you're like his agent somehow?
No, I do bring him DoorDash on the weekends.
No, you don't.
He's
no, you don't.
Great tipper. Yeah, neither one of us. I don't want to speak for you. I've never taken a dollar from the Warriors. But yeah, two other things. First of all, real quick, I do take issue with the idea that I have openly stated that all the Warrior players are going to be mad at JK when he comes back. I never said that. That's completely taken out of context. That was a hypothetical based on if JK and the Warriors get two nuclear options and it ruins an entire offseason. And that was a one-time comment that was made on a scenario and a hypothetical conversation that we were having. So please, Tim, try not to take things out of context and trumpet them back. I'll end with this. This is how I view greatness in life. And I don't like it when I hear greatness get disrespected. I find it very odd that any of you think that Steve Kerr is an idiot. I find that so strange. And that can be your opinion. Good for you. Have a great weekend. But somebody who has lived that life, you all know about Steve Kerr's life.
He's only won 9 titles, Mark.
And that level of accomplishment and that level of grace and that level of intelligence, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes with rotations and decisions. But for you to say, some of you listeners, the things that are said about that man, I find it so strange. Like literally to the point I could never understand where you're coming from. I try. I think that's the strangest thing that gets said in this city. That Steve Kerr's an idiot and needs to be fired. I think it is just an absolutely unthinkable opinion.
That is lunatic fringe.
But you're all allowed to do it.
Sure. I think that that's a much smaller minority than you are actually hearing it.
It's more of an echo chamber.
Yeah, but it's the social media and it's the echo chamber. Yep. I don't think it's the majority. It's a very small minority of the fan base, I would say.
Not done yet. 888-957-957. We have a very important caller on hold. I'll tell you that. Also, the Red and Gold Summit, Thursday, September 4th, King's Fish House, Westfield Valley Fair, Santa Clara. Dibs and I, 2-4. The whole gang, 4-6. Great food. Great place to hang out. Get to meet us. We get to meet you. That's, again, next Thursday, the 4th, King's Fish House, Westfield Valley Fair.
The 2025 Red and Gold Summit.
Yeah, Santa Clara. Come get the season started, okay? Experience the ultimate in shopping, dining, and entertainment at Westfield Valley Fair. Your game day destination.
Thank you.
A destination. Sensation. Catch all the games this season at King's Fish House, the go-to spot for fans. It's Willard and Dibs.
He cannot be that guy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy birthday to your daughter.
Yeah, thank you. The big three today. Big three. So, man, time flies. They usually always say that the days go slow, but the years go fast. And
long days, short years.
Yeah. Hard to believe that she is already three. You know, it doesn't quite feel like yesterday. Yeah, shout out my mind. But, you know, three. Man, those first months were long, long days.
Dude, stop it. They all are. You know. I mean, and usually three. When your kid turns three is usually when some schmuck comes up to you and says, you know, I know they call it the terrible twos. Three's worse. Someone said that to me when my first kid turned three. And I was like, I'd kind of like smack you right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, Grandy. Yeah. It just depends. I mean.
Exactly.
Much like, depends you lose your eyesight at 45. Well, it might be 46, but. Yeah.
No, lovely Christy has not lost hers yet.
Yeah, which is awesome.
She's 48, but yeah.
And it's not like on the day my daughter turned two, all of a sudden she was terrible. And now that she turns three today, it's all good. It just depends. It's fluid. She's a woman.
Yep.
So there you have it. Terrible whatever. She's wonderful. She's terrible. Talk to me next minute.
Yeah.
And she'll be the same.
Well, I would say, but you never had a daughter before.
No, this is a debut.
So, like, you're moving into some years that are probably going to be different than what you remember.
For sure.
Like, boys, when they're, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they're just like, I blinked, and they're in the middle of the street. and they have a Sharpie and they're drawing on your neighbor's car. Like, that's what a boy is doing. A girl may well just be like sitting and drawing.
Or she could be in the middle of the street with a Sharpie.
Yes, so, she could be.
Yeah.
She could be.
And a lot of times she is. This girl is cut from a different cloth. She gets on her scooter and I go so fast. And she wants everything is just.
She's a dibbly.
She hard charges. Always with the helmet, but she's a hard charger. So there you have it. Happy birthday, Mai Mai.
Happy birthday, Mai Mai. Good discussion today on Juwan Jennings and more here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. This is a typical thing that I feel like we always do, either heading into a weekend or a vacation or whatever. When I see you next at 1:42 on Tuesday, the Juwan thing figured out, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes, and I'm just going to say it hopefully, but by figured out, it's either no new deal, he shows up to play, they break him off a little bit of extra money and he shows up to play, or he gets traded, or he could just arms folded say, I'm not playing.
Well, but then there's probably something definitive from the 49ers.
True.
You know, they've brought up the idea of even suspension. So, yeah, what I mean by that is when you and I start our next show on Tuesday, has he either been traded, deactivated, suspended, or practicing? I mean, I feel like one of those is pretty likely by the time we circle back around. One of those four.
Agreed.
Practicing, deactivated, suspended, or traded.
Yeah,
unless something comes up new about this injury, that's the only way that I see a fifth option, which gets put on IR or something like that.
And you could just say listed. He could be put on the suspended list, the injured list, the pup list, whatever. I do think that the most, maybe I'm just trying to be Pollyannish, but for me, the most likely scenario is that he still just comes in and plays. He gets to Monday and he realizes, I need those game checks. I'm not getting any fresh money. I'm out of choices. I'm going to come play football.
Okay, what would you guess? What would you guess?
That's what I would guess.
But, like, do the Niners do anything, or do they just, like, sorry, you're under contract?
I think they give him just a tiny bit.
I'm with you. I think that there's something that the Niners do to eat, whether it's smooth it over, save face, you know what I mean? Help Juwan not be embarrassed or what have you. I think there's something. I think there's something tucked in there. And then he gets back on the field, because what else is he going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that also would allow him to save face if he at least got a little bit of money guaranteed. And, you know, you give him $14 million and eight of it's guaranteed with, the next year you could just cut him and not really have a cap hit if you wanted to go that route, but he'd get at least a little bit more guaranteed for this year.
You want to go to the phones?
We might as well. I see we got one call. I don't know who it is.
Special caller. It's Friday at 5:54. Let's go to Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt.
Dibs, the two best sports boys in the Bay Area and in town, fellas. That's who you are.
Kurt, you're the best. How you been?
There's an old saying there, good brother. You're doing as good as you look.
So once again, how we doing?
Well, you know what we're doing. Let me tell you something about the San Francisco Giants and who's got the bat on that team. I told you when Devers would come on that team that he would hit some home runs. And that good brother of ours, that big, powerful hitter, has got 12 home runs. That's a stat. And he's on a roll. On a roll.
It looks good,
Kurt. Believe it or not, he's on a roll. And the other thing is about, let me tell you about the 49ers and the kicker. Let me tell you about Moody.
Okay.
You know what Moody's stat is last year? He had 10 missed kicks. and we watched the game in Detroit. He missed three of them. You're telling me that Moody's going to stay on this team? Let me tell you, the first three games, if he misses any kicks or punts the ball way the hell out, he's not going to last. He's on a noose, and they're going to hang him, and they'll boot him right out.
Wow. I mean, Kurt. Kind
of a little strong.
Yeah, a little, that's tough talk. I do think he's on thin ice, Kurt. I don't think you're wrong about that.
Well, what about the other? What about the other part of the team? That team is not. That team is a young team. But the bottom line is, you've got Robert Saleh. He ranks number 6 in defense coordinator ranking this year, and you got the Wizard. You got the Wizard coach, who's one of the best offensive minded in the league. You're going to tell me with those two pros and those two minds put together, we're not going to win this season? We're definitely, you can put your money on the 49ers to have a winning season. And Purdy's going to throw the ball, and everything's going to be on his arm. And we got the running back. We got all the great veterans still on the team. 49ers, they're going to win this year. And let me tell you something. They're going to have the defense is going to be at least number 5 this year. Robert Saleh, I said, bring him back. They brought him back, and he's the man, and so is Kyle.
Love it, Kurt. Hey, Kurt, real quick, because we got to run. I do want you to pretend that you and Jake Moody are sitting in a room inside the stadium in Seattle together after Jake has missed 2 field goals. In a week and a half, if you're sitting there with him and he's just missed 2 field goals, what would you say?
Get over here!
Hey, there it is.
There it is.
Get out of here.
Can't start a weekend without that.
Get me Greg Joseph.
What are you doing, Grandy?
We're going to hear the last segment of Steiny and Goo and then the crossover because Steiny was just letting Goo have it.
Yeah,
for that final segment, and then you guys joined in. Although you guys defended him in the crossover.
We got to play both sides. But anyway, it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
No.
Day after that?
No.
Day after that?
No.
How about Tuesday?
I'm in for Tuesday.
That's Juwan Day. All right, we'll look forward to seeing you then. Hey, have a great, safe holiday weekend. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot Your Shot. It is All You Got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.